this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. You got to be here on Pentecost Sunday. And, you know, you think about it as what Pentecost is, and some of you may know the history of it, even where it comes from. The word Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecost, which means 50. And it's like 50 is like 50 days after Passover is Pentecost Sunday. It was a celebration of a harvest celebration. It was the end of the barley harvest and the beginning of the wheat harvest. And I tell you the truth, I probably wouldn't even know that. Well, I might. I wouldn't know what barley looks like, but I do know what wheat looks like. But in an agricultural economy, this was a time to celebrate. It's God's provision of harvest. And we're celebrating a harvest and the beginning of what God has provided to nurture us, to provide for us food for this year. And as a celebration, as one of three pilgrimage festivals that God says, hey, you know what? I just want you to know God is not boring. God made parties. If you think God's boring, guess who's boring? Not God. If we don't understand that God is an amazing creative God, a celebrating God, we look in the Old Testament, see all these festivals, and Pentecost festival of Pentecost was the harvest festival that God said, come and celebrate, my goodness, come and celebrate that. And so as one of the three pilgrimage festivals, they would come to Jerusalem and celebrate that harvest festival. It was amazing because we talk about 50 days after Passover. What's that 50 days after also? 50 days after Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. So 50 days, we know from Scripture that for 40 of those days after Jesus rose from the grave, he didn't just beat it out of here. I don't know about you, but I'd be tempted to want to go back to heaven real quick. Jesus in his grace said, my work's not done here. I got a little bit more that I need to lock in for you guys before I go. I want you to pay really close attention. And so 40 days, as we know in the stories of different ways that he appeared to guys, and he let Thomas put his finger in his hand. Once he got that all established, like, okay, this is Jesus. He rose from the dead just like he said, and now it's all making sense that Jesus had some things to say to them. As he gathered those disciples in Acts 1:4, Jesus told his disciples, he says, do not leave Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. I've told you this before. Just like your kids, you get tired of telling them the same thing over and over again. Why? Because you want to emphasize that it's important. It's really important that you hear what's coming. I want you to stay here in Jerusalem and wait for this gift I'm talking about. As Jesus rides up and the cloud comes down and the 500 or so on the hill watching him, his disciples, not just the 12, but his disciples were all those people who followed him, who didn't abandon him. There were a lot of them that abandoned him at the end because he started to say some weird stuff like, you got to eat my flesh and you got to drink my blood. And they're like, whoa, we're not cannibals. And they would leave. But there still were faithful disciples, and I would have loved him, and I pray that I would have been the faithful disciple that got to see Jesus say his last words as he got taken up on the cloud. But 40 days after Passover, Jesus left town. And they said, well, what did he say to do? Go to Jerusalem and wait. For the next 10 days, they prayed. It says they were in an upper room. There are 120 of them. They're praying and they're waiting on the Lord and them. Fasting and saying, God, we want your gift. This gift that you promised to send, we want it. As we talk about this day of Pentecost, it was the entrance of a new meaning. It wasn't just the harvest. It was a different kind of harvest. It was the end of the old meaning. It was the end of one harvest the old covenant, the old way of living. And it was the beginning of a new harvest, the new covenant, a new way of living. So when you come about, I don't want to, you know, I just get it out in the open. Foursquare is a Pentecostal church. And that means that we're going to celebrate what Pentecost stands for as we unpack what it is that Jesus promised in coming on that day. Kind of as you look at Scripture, if you look at the Bible, the whole picture, the big picture, there's three stages of how God interacted with mankind, with humankind. The first stage was really, it was God the Father from the beginning. In the heavens and in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth as he described his relationship with Adam and Eve and just his judgment on as sin entered the world and his dealing with the world was as Noah and the flood and regretting that he made mankind and seeing all their sinfulness. And then as he brought Israel out of Egypt, as he gave the Ten Commandments, as he saw kings rise, terrible kings and good kings that honored him. We see God interacting with man. Granted, we see man's failure to respond very well, but the Old Testament is all really that first stage of the Father revealing himself, revealing his standards, revealing his expectations. The second stage that we see is God's engagement in humankind is with who? His son, Jesus. God says, you know what? Obeying rules is not your strength. You need some help. Man, there's a punishment that has to be extracted here because although I'm a merciful God, I am a just God who needs to punish that sin. And I'm going to send my son so that he receives that punishment that you deserve. He takes it on himself. And as Jesus, we see as in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, the revelation, how God revealed himself to the Father. We see Jesus revealed in the New Testament and what we call the Gospels. And we've been going through Matthew, the one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four books at the beginning of the New Testament that talk about Jesus' life. And this is, he's revealing the second way that God has revealed in this stage of how he's dealt with humankind. As Jesus declares, he gives an indication and an invitation, and there's a third interaction. As John records in chapter 16, verse 7, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And that third stage, that third interaction of God with humankind, first was himself, the God the Father. The second was Jesus, his son. And the third one was the Holy Spirit. The third way that God interacts with humankind to reveal who he is, to give us what we need, our understanding. Jesus made good on his promise. He said, man, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Everybody, all the disciples said, we heard you say that. And Jesus goes away on a cloud. It's like, what, Jesus? You said you'd never leave us or forsake us. What's the deal with that? I don't know about you, Jesus, but in my world, taking off in a cloud is leaving us. Well, he didn't. He made good on that promise. 10 days after Jesus left, they're in that upper room. And we read about it in Acts chapter 2, the verse 4 verses. Read with me. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In that moment, God's Spirit changed everything. God's Spirit changed everything. The Holy Spirit in that moment birthed the church. And in that moment, there was a boldness and a courageousness. As you know, Peter who had denied Jesus, Peter who said, "I will never deny you, Lord. I will die for you." Hours later, swearing, calling God down, swearing that he never knew Jesus. Not one time, right? Not two times, but three times. The Peter we see after the Holy Spirit comes is a changed Peter. Peter's articulate. Peter is bold. Peter has assembled all of these messages that he's heard Jesus talk about for the past 3 years, and now he can articulate that. How do you know when one of your students, how do you know when your kid get talking about? They can talk to somebody else about it. That's the best thing you can do for kids who are like, they know what's going on, is they will make havoc for you if you don't take them and make them a teacher of some other students. As they get it, even as they talk about it. The Bible talks about as we share our faith, as we talk about who Jesus is to us, our faith grows. Not only is it good for people to hear it, but our faith grows. How many people? 3,000 people are added to those believers that respond to Peter's message of salvation, Peter's message of conviction, the power of the Holy Spirit, power to permeate every believer that then infiltrates the whole world. Jesus is multiplied. What was intended, and Jesus said, he left. He says, this is a good thing that I leave because I will send the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost marked the fulfillment of Joel 2:28, right? I will pour out my Spirit on all people. There's a time Jesus was limited, right? Where was Jesus when he was on the earth? Well, he's over there. He's over at Capernaum. He's over in Galilee. He's in Jerusalem. Jesus was limited. His ministry that he did really focused on just Israel. When Jesus sent his Holy Spirit, he just multiplied his presence. Every single place there's a believer, that's where Jesus is. Not only did the Holy Spirit bring freedom of his love that not only went to Israel, but went to us Gentiles. As we worship here, as we acknowledge Jesus our Savior, we're the result of that expansion of the gospel that went to the whole world. I had to think about, you know, for years, I grew up in a church that I knew what the Trinity was. And we talked about God and we talked about Jesus. We didn't talk much about the Holy Spirit. It was just, you know, the Spirit of God. There was an unction that you did things with. But I said, you know, some of you may have that question. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What is the baptism? That phrase comes from John when he talked of John the Baptist in Acts 1:5. When he referred to, Jesus referred to John, he said, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You think about being in water, baptism, getting dunked down. Most of us, some of you may have gotten sprinkled, but I believe that when Jesus meant John the Baptist style, he wasn't sprinkling people in the Jordan River. He was dunking them. You know, and the symbolism of baptism is that you die to yourself. You're washed in the blood of Christ. You're buried and you come out a new person. And Jesus said, man, just like you're baptized, John baptized with water, I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to dunk you, man. I'm going to fully soak you. Have you ever gotten water with your clothes on? when you get out of water, is there any part of your clothes that are dry? No, it gets to everything. And that's the kind of Holy Spirit. And I think that picture is important because Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to soak us with his Holy Spirit, to permeate every single aspect of our lives. Luke 24:49, I'm going to send to you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Think about the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is God's power for kingdom life and service. It's like there's a power that we need that we don't have. We need to have a power, an ability to walk out God's kingdom clothed with power. I was thinking about, clothed with power. I was thinking of Iron Man. Some of you are familiar with Marvel movies. My wife and I have been checking through. We haven't got through all of them, but we got a list of the order to watch them in, so that when they refer to a character or situation, you just watched it and you know the history of it. Because when they do books, like they do movies sometimes, they're not sure if it's going to go good, so they try to pick the best story and they do that one first. Well, they've done all these Marvel movies, and Iron Man is one of them. And then Iron Man, there's this man called Tony Stark who makes this suit, that's amazing suit, that he gets inside, in which each episode or continuation of Iron Man, the suits get cooler and cooler. But I think about, you would never see Tony Stark go and battle the bad guys without his suit on. He always, the very first thing, in fact, he's got, like, he, as time goes on, he doesn't have to go back to his lab and jump in the suit. He's got like a briefcase or something, and he pushes the button and boom, it comes out, and it he doesn't jump into it. It clothes him and he's good to go. And he's ready to go. And I think the Lord is saying, man, you need power. You need the Iron Man suit. You need the Holy Spirit suit to wear, to do the battle that I've called you to live the life that I've called you to. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. I see the baptism of the Holy Spirit is God's conferring of spiritual gifts on believers for the work of ministry. Man, there is tools that God needs to give to believers so that they can walk out the kingdom and say, man, you're going to need this weapon. You're going to need this situation, this understanding. You're going to need this kind of communication so that you can walk out the kingdom. There's a specific gift for particular needs. And just think about Iron Man. He just doesn't like blast off all of the tools at one time, right? The situation comes up and then that's the tool that he uses. That's the situation he looks. He applies that tool for that situation. As God gives his gifts, there are gifts that he's given for a particular person, a particular personality, a particular situation that God is giving so that you can use and accomplish. The Holy Spirit gives the right tool to be used at the right time. Luke 11:13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is telling believers that the baptism, the fullness of his Holy Spirit, is something that we're entitled to. We're like, entitlement's a bad word, right? These days, you're not entitled to get something for nothing. Well, Jesus is telling us that, hey, I just want to let you know, you are entitled to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You're entitled. Not only are you entitled to it, you should seek it and you should expect it. Your God is a good God. He knows how to give good gifts. And I can guarantee you, if you ask him for the fullness of his Holy Spirit, he will give it to you. He will give it to you. Hey, I had to think about If you've ever purchased a travel package, you know, all-inclusive deal, it's like includes the airfare, includes the hotel, it includes food, it includes the tips, it includes and maybe some activities. Well, let's say you went on a travel trip and you, man, I'm so excited to go on this trip. You get on your ticket and you show and you get to your destination and you don't take advantage of the hotel. You sleep in your, you know, on the street. You don't take advantage of the food that's provided for you. You don't take advantage of the additional adventures that God has given, has included in that trip. I think that's the same kind of thing. If we don't recognize that God's the whole, it's included, it's a full package deal. To receive the salvation of the Lord is to receive what is included is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's included in the deal. Can you say with me? Included. Included. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is included. When we receive Jesus, our Savior, we're given the Holy Spirit deposited in us. But we need to pray for the fullness and ask for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. As God's children, we need to recognize that being filled with God's Spirit is something we have to pursue, something we have to desire, something we have to seek after. Not because God's trying to be tricky and trying to keep the stuff from us, but because He wants us to use it wisely. If you're just given something, you know, I think of kids given something really valuable. If they don't understand it, they don't take care of it. It's just human nature. We don't take care of things that we don't value. As we seek things out and say, God, man, I need your power. I need your help. I need the fullness of you are. I need your discernment. I need your perseverance. I need your strength. We need God's power to be salt and light in the world. To not just be another human being that just is walking through life mundanely, but to be salt and light. We need the Holy Spirit for clarity of purpose, to understand God's called you for a purpose. God's called you to a situation to be salt and light to your family, salt and light to your neighborhood, salt and light to your workmates. Salt and light. We need for clarity of purpose, for the Holy Spirit, for perseverance in difficult circumstances. We need God's fullness of His Holy Spirit to bear His fruit. The fruit of what? His Spirit. It's not the fruit of hard work. It's not the fruit of going to church. It's not the fruit of praying. It's not the fruit of doing good things. It's the fruit of His Spirit. It's God's Spirit coming out of us. Love expressed in joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the fruit of walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If you and I are cranky, if you and I are not kind, we're not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. As you recognize those things, I say, hey, Jesus, man, would you fill me up? I want to be walking out of the fullness of who you are, not the fullness of who I am. We need the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus did. As I think about just the Holy Spirit, that there's something profound in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus in us. The Spirit of Jesus in us. It's fascinating. If you look at the Holy Spirit, the ministry of Jesus in believers, Jesus' ministry was as priest, it was as prophet, and it was as king. So as we receive the Holy Spirit, we walk out those ministries. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Believers are a royal priesthood. Can you say that? I'm a priesthood. I'm a royal priesthood. That sounds really foreign, I know. It's like, what, are you kidding me? It was because of Jesus. That's what God calls us. As we receive the Holy Spirit, there's a ministry that Jesus walked out, that now as we have the Spirit of Jesus in us, he's called us to walk out. The Holy Spirit anoints us as New Testament priests to worship God, as God's royal priest. Who was it that got to go into God's presence in the Holy of Holies? The high priest. God's anointing us as royal priests. We are now allowed and invited into God's presence. The Holy Spirit gives us direct access to God's will, to God's plans, to God's heart. As New Testament priests, we get to worship him in the courts of heaven. The fulfillment of the Holy Spirit gives us an ability to understand who we're worshiping. Man, we may love to worship, and it doesn't matter how sincere your heart is. It's not going to compare with a believer filled with God's Spirit. Why? Because we're filled with the understanding relationship with God. As we exercise, the Holy Spirit allows us to worship God with clarity and understanding that we can't do without being full of his Holy Spirit. As New Testament priests, we're empowered to bring a new dimension of our sacrifice of praise, a new understanding of who it is we're worshiping. We practiced a little bit this morning, like, what do you want to say to God's ear? And a lot of that stemmed from the reality of who God is. Being full of his Holy Spirit is like, wow. Even it's described, some people say, man, I don't hear God talking. I don't hear God talking. What that says to me is that they're not full of God's Spirit. Because I see God shouting his love to us. He shouts to me every day in my relationship. And if I'm not hearing God talking in my heart, man, I'd say, God, would you fill me with your Spirit? Man, I'm not seeing it. And all of a sudden, just the little things. And I love that my wife pursues the fullness of the Holy Spirit because it's so cool. We will read the same thing and God will shout his love to us. And she said, I read that today. In fact, the other day we were talking about something and we were just amazed about God. Actually, it was about the verse in Psalms. I think it was Psalms 8 or 9 where the Lord, David says, who is mankind that God should take care of him? And we were just the night before, we just had a conversation, just God's amazement of how he's blessed us, that we realize none of it is because we've earned or deserved it. And we made that statement, and the next morning we read it in the Psalms. It was like, oh, that's so good that we both in the same moment, Jackie said it, and I said, I was thinking the exact same thing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was talking to both of us as he was shouting his love to us. The Holy Spirit not only anoints us as priests, but he anoints us as New Testament prophets to witness, to speak God's word of love, to speak God's healing word, to speak God's forgiving word, to speak God's inviting word. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you have somebody who's just like torn up, they're just exhausted. They're on the ground. They're like, I can't handle anymore. And Jesus says, come. My burden, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As New Testament prophets, we are empowered to bring God's word in the flesh. Remember I said Jesus went back? But he says, I'll never leave you. He gave his Holy Spirit so that every single believer full of the Holy Spirit walks out who Jesus is. To bring reality to phone call, to kindness, to taking a meal, to conversation, to be witnesses to the name of Jesus. Man, how he's redeemed me, who I was and who I'm becoming. To give witness to the Son of God who died for my sins and wiped the slate clean so I can go to God with my head up and my eyes raised to him, not in shame, but in love and in confidence. Hearts filled with God's love, minds filled with God's truth, souls filled with God's life, and bodies overflowing with God's goodness, so that the world says what? It's undeniable who Jesus is. It's undeniable. There's something different about you. Why? Why aren't you bummed out? Why aren't you depressed? How can you keep going and doing that? Well, I'll tell you how. It's not on my power, but it's by the Holy Spirit's power. He's the one who continues to fill me, to empower me to do what I can't do on my own. The Holy Spirit not only anoints us as priests, not only as prophets, but get this, the Holy Spirit anoints us as New Testament kings. Kings to engage in spiritual warfare. How did Jesus engage in spiritual warfare? He engaged with the command. He said, demons, leave. He said, bodies, be healed. Life, be given to what is dead. There's a spiritual warfare that is that the Holy Spirit empowers us to not only see, but to fight and say, this is what it's about. This is what we're walking in. This is the fullness of the Holy Spirit that we need to walk out the kingdom. And it just is so profound to me, but it's true. It just seems so bigger than me. It is. For the Holy Spirit be given to me to walk out and to you to walk out the ministry of Jesus, as priest that we get to worship, as prophet as we get to be witnesses in the world, as kings to walk out the spiritual warfare. You're not walking it out. Who's walking it out? Jesus is walking it out. As we walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, said, as I'm going to do this, flesh, take a back seat. I know that the Holy Spirit is here, that he's filled me, he's given me a place to live and a job to do and a witness to be. I think about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It creates an intimacy with God. Remember what I'm talking about? It creates an overflowing of the fullness of the Spirit. I don't have these verses up, but whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will what? Flow from within them. From within them. Just like when they went to the desert, Israel, Moses touched the rock. I don't know about you, but I have no rocks that water comes out of. For living water to come out of Scott is impossible. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that living water can come out. It creates an intimacy as that living water comes out of relationship. There's overflow of who God is coming out of me. Sometimes I'm amazed, and I don't know, but and I've heard some of you say, "Wow, I don't know. I sure wasn't saying that. It was the Lord working in me. That was way smarter than I could come up with." The word that comes out of our mouth, an overflow, it creates a deepened reverence for God. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. The thing we talk about, what would we tell God? That's from the Holy Spirit as we worship God and say, God, you're an amazing God. You're a grace-giving God. You're an awesome God that sends us to our knees, that makes us tear up and say, oh, Lord, I don't deserve this. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your miracles. Thank you for your restoration. Thank you for your hope. That intimacy with God includes an intensified consecration or purity to God, a dedication to his work. In Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Those things, those priorities, that is like, that's important to me. That's important to me. You know, am I going to go do something fun every weekend on Sunday mornings? Or going to say, Lord, man, because of the Holy Spirit says, you know what, this is a priority. For years, actually before Jackie and I were married, we bought a boat together. She had money in her account and I didn't. So I love this girl. I made the payments on it. Well, we bought a boat and we had a year before we got married and we had that same boat for, I don't know, 20 years. Had the seats reupholstered. That thing kept running and we would go camping. And I can't tell you how tempting it is to go camping on Sunday morning. We would arrange it. We would take off Friday and we'd go and we'd come back by Saturday night so that we could be in church on Sunday morning. Because for us, that was really important, not only because it was water for our soul, but because it was important to example that to our kids of priorities of life. What's important? Camping's really fun, but Jesus is life. And it really, I believe, is only through the fullness of the Holy Spirit that he planted that in us to even make that a priority. Because everything in us would rather go camping on a lake because, you know, that's a great service place because Jesus is there. That's my service, is to be out enjoying God's country that he made. Which is true because we did take weekends off. We had planned a vacation and we'd be gone Sundays camping. But the temptation was to make that a regular thing. It was only because the fullness of the Holy Spirit said, hey, this is important. You don't understand it now, Scott, but you'll understand it later when you see your kids loving the Lord and being faithful. Because guess what? Now they've got their own kids that they get to walk out their faith. And we pray for that they would seek out and pursue and expect the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit intimacy with God gives us also a more active love for Christ, for his word, and for the lost. In Mark 16:20, then the disciples, the very last verse of Mark, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. As there's a walking out, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the intimacy. We've heard the song, you know, God, would you help me cry for the things that make you cry? Would you help me be compassionate for the things that you care about? Would you help me love the things that you love? That intimacy, the Lord, that all of a sudden things are awakened in us. The sadness for the lost. It's heart-wrenching. It's heart-wrenching. Honestly, I don't know how Jesus handled all the sadness that he saw. I really don't. In a sense, you know, I guess we see a little bit of it in the garden where he wept. And I don't think he was just weeping about what was ahead for him, but weeping about how man could kill his creator God. Weeping that man could be so blind and hard-hearted to do things that damage themselves. As I grow in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that I want to be connected to God so that I see the world as he sees it. From what we read in Scripture, I believe in that the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is separate from salvation. And I know this is a kind of interesting conversation. This is what separates Pentecostal from non-Pentecostal churches. And it's changed tons because I have lots of non-Pentecostal pastor friends and they no longer believe most of them a cessation of gifts, meaning that a lot of sometimes people believe that when the last apostle died, that the gifts that Jesus exercised stopped. They don't believe that anymore. And so we celebrate, we pray for healing, we pray for miracles together. But there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit that they believe is just at the time of salvation. And I don't see that in Scripture. I see that not only there's a salvation, there's a believing, but there's a separate power that comes on people. A separate power that God empowers. And honestly, how I came into touch with this was I grew up in a conservative, well, I'll just say it, a conservative in a Baptist church. And there was a time that came, and my wife and I, as we were engaged to get married, we were both hungering for something more of the Lord. We saw the gospel being preached. We saw a good articulation of it, good theology, good programs. But Jackie and I had both had Pentecostal people in our background. And what we saw in their life was the fullness of the Lord, these things that we just talked about. It wasn't just head knowledge. It wasn't just stuff trying to do right, but we saw a life in them that we wanted. We saw something different. So when we walked into our first Four Square church, by the way, it was called Church of the Living Water. Oh, Lord, we had no idea. I had the first Four Square church I'd ever been into. I hadn't even heard of Four Square, besides you playing that bouncy rubber ball in elementary school. We walked in there, and there was a presence there of people who were worshiping, raising their hands. We, at the time in the services, we didn't hear speaking in tongues, although we'd been around that. But needless to say, we held hands for the first year, afraid that our hands would all of a sudden fly up in the air. And we worshiped. There was a sweetness to the Lord that we had never experienced before. We looked and said, this is what we've been looking for. And for the next year and a half, we built relationships. We joined a home group. And I found out I was going to get transferred to from Olympia down to Portland to another office. And some friends we had made saw an opportunity. And they say, Scott and Jackie, it says, have you ever been baptized with the Holy Spirit? I'm like, no, we're not even sure what that is. And they shared with us to have the fullness of the Lord and close to just two couples. We went to one of the couple's house that we're close friends with, and he prayed for us. And Jackie and I stepped out in faith, and God gave us a little syllable, and they were speaking in tongues, and that was a whole weird thing in itself. We began to speak the syllables or whatever that God gave us. I was like, man, we want more of you, Lord. If this is what it's about, we're getting all in. And we began to speak, and they say, hey, go home. Develop it, practice it, talk, speak in the shower, speak in the car, begin to speak in a language you don't know and ask the Lord to fill you with his power. I began to practice in the shower and speak in tongues and in a language that I didn't know. And some people sounds like Chinese. Mine kind of sounds like Spanish, probably no surprise. Sometimes it sounds Asian. But as we did that, there was a boldness in my testimony at work. The next city that we went to, Jackie and I stepped into marriage ministry. The next church we went to, I stepped into as a home group pastor, home group leader, and began to take Bible classes to grow my faith. There was a boldness that came in my work where I wouldn't do the things that they asked me to because I felt they were wrong, and I knew that it would stop my promotions. That God gave me a boldness and a trust for him. I would not be a pastor today if it wasn't for the fullness of the Holy Spirit to help me navigate. I'm not kidding you. There's not a week that I don't cry out to the Lord as I open his word and say, oh, God, this is way too big for me. This is too much. I'm going to talk about your Holy Spirit. It's like, oh, Lord, give me the words to say. Give me your understanding. Lord, I get to walk this out. I believe that the fullness of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event. In other words, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as Jackie and I stepped in and spoke in tongues and people prayed for us, I believe that it's something that we have to, as a lifetime of Christians, have to pray for God's fullness. Because guess what? Life sucks it out of us. We pour it out in circumstances to get to God. I need filled up again. There's the circumstances. God knows as we pray, we don't know what's around the corner that God's going to need to speak in. That difficult situation that we need God's wisdom, his power, his understanding to walk out, to pursue, receiving the fullness of God's Spirit. There's a requirement. It's a requirement that we confess Jesus as our Savior, that we say, God, you're the master of my life. You're the Savior of my soul. You're the reason that I get to go to heaven because you died on the cross and paid for my sin. God, I confess you. Jesus says, God, I confess you, Jesus is dying for my sins. I confess you, Jesus, that you are on the right hand of God in heaven today, waiting for me to come and join you. I confess, Lord, that it requires not only receiving and Jesus as our Savior and a master of our life, is to be obedient to him. To say, God, I want to do what you tell me to do. One of the things he says to do is to believe and what? Be baptized in water. That's kind of like going public with your faith. And we know there's not an order. God is not a legalist. He's not saying, hey, do this first and then this. Because we know in the Old Testament that these guys hadn't been water baptized and they started speaking in tongues. They were baptized in the Spirit. God says, I approve of these guys. They love me. They're obeying me. And then Peter says, oh, man, I guess we probably should get them water baptized too. It's not an order, but there's something about being obedient that God honors. He wants to give the fullness. Remember, we talked about the intimacy. God, you cannot have intimacy with your kids that don't obey you. When they walk in obedience, there's a restoration of relationship. And being baptized and receiving the fullness of God's Spirit requires that we recognize our need for God's power. Where we say, man, I can't do this without you. Lord, I need your help. Oh, please, God. Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. Would you fill me with the fullness of who you are so I can walk this out? And what does the word say? That God is a good God. God knows how to give good gifts. And that when we ask him, he will give us the Spirit. So I just opened that up this morning. You know, for some of you, it might be the first time. Maybe it's the first time you heard it. Spirit, the gift of the third member of the Trinity that God sent in this stage, the church age, until Jesus comes back, when we get to all be in heaven and experience God, the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit all at once. There is a need that Jesus said, man, it's not good. It's good that I go away. I need to give you. I just invite you to ask the Lord for the fullness of who he is. If you'd like prayer and not sure how to navigate that, to come up afterwards and there'd be some folks that would love to pray with you. It's something that's not manipulated. It's something that we want to allow in your time. It's something you get to ask. It's something you may not be expressing tongues. That's okay. It's available to you in your shower, like my friends encouraged me, in the car, by yourself, on a walk, that you can experience. God, I want all of you. For some of you, it's you're like, oh my goodness, I received this, but I haven't got filled up in a long time. I need to pursue that. My prayer is you come up and say, it's not that it's sacred or something amazing up here, but it's that saying, God, I'm asking you to fill me up, man. I need your Holy Spirit. I need your wisdom. I need your peace. I need you working in me and through me to accomplish and be a witness in this world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day of Pentecost. I thank you for celebrations. Man, if I didn't have birthdays, I'd forget how old I was. Lord, we have celebrations because you designed them, because you want us to remember. Lord, when we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, Lord, a time for a new harvest to come, a new way of living that began this new stage of relationship with you that came with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit to live out who you are, Jesus, in this world as priests, as into the very courtyards of your presence, as prophets, as we get to be witnesses in this world, to be light and salt. And as kings, as we take on spiritual warfare and say, listen, I've got the Holy Spirit and he's directing me to command these things, this addiction to be gone, that I get to trust this things I've had trouble. I know, and I've been doing for needed to do for years and years. And for some reason, I just can't do it. The Holy Spirit to anoint you to walk out God's kingdom with power and authority. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit, the fullness of who you are in this moment. God, would you wash over us? Would you fill us up to overflowing so that the world would know that you are God? So the world would know that we've been touched by you, Jesus. We've been healed by you. We've been forgiven by you. That we are confident of the future that you promised, the future that you've paid for. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father.